I have a marketing company, and it's called Audi Inga, which is AI.
Being able to kind of take those complex ideas and simplify them and really give it actionable timelines have been super helpful for us.
And it's thinking about all the stuff while I sleep. So I wake up to a curated list of things I should be thinking about that day.
Because everybody says, oh yeah, I use AI mostly for personal stuff. Or
AI is like driving a car instead of walking to get to where you want to go, right? It cuts the time down 10 times.
This is AI in Business with hosts Elizabeth Gearhart, podcast consultant, marketing expert, and PhD researcher using AI every day, and Richard Gearhart, entrepreneur, seasoned business owner, and intellectual property attorney specializing in innovation. Here's how real companies are using AI right now.
So now it's time for
AI in Business. We're talking about AI in Business. We're going to ask each of our guests here just for one example, because I talked to them before the show. They're all just like going to town with AI because they're smart and they see the future. But for one way that you're using AI in your business that's really helping you. So we'll start with you, Tommy Hilken.
I'm a one-man show. I've always been a one-man show. I do everything in my company. It's the way I want it. I don't even think about it. It's exhausting. So I have a marketing company, and it's called Audi Inga, which is AI. I learned how to use AI for my marketing. And I tell people I do have a marketing guy, Audi Inga. And so his initials are AI, works perfectly. And makes me sound like a big shot. Hang on, let me check with Audi. You know? And so what I've been doing, so when you ask, do I write things down? I'm a talker.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm a talker. Sorry, fellas.
Now
you guys,
I get it.
And I want to say, you guys are real good listeners. You're my favorite listeners ever. But I, if someone sends me an email and they're looking for something specific, I cut it out and I put it into AI and I ask them to respond to this email in a professional, humorous way. Much better than I could ever write it, even think about it. You could even put pricing in. And if I get enough information, I'll say, would you do me a favor, AI? And please, I always say please, because like we mentioned earlier, I got a feeling they'll be coming after me if I don't someday. So, please, Mr. AI. Remember that time you forgot to say please, Tommy?
I'm in trouble because I got in a fight with it.
I take the email and or even say, could you please write me a proposal? And it comes back better than I could ever write. And not even close. I know nothing about that. You know, even if with most business decisions, if they want something like a proposal, I'd rather talk to them than send the proposal. But some people are a stickler for it. So prints out everything, bullet points and everything of what I'm going to do. It's absolutely amazing. That's what I use it for, responding to clients.
So now we're going to Bobby Masha with Green Ridge Wealth Planning. Bobby, what is one way you're using AI?
So what's interesting about AI in the conversations that we're having with clients today is that 2030 is really going to be an interesting point in time for our generation in the workplace. And it's when baby boomers turn 65 and older. So they're all segmented for that retirement phase out age. And you also have AI set to reach singularity.
What does that mean, reach singularity?
It basically becomes self-thinking. To some degree, right?
So sentient.
I don't want to make it scarier than it really needs to be, because there's a lot behind the energy that it takes to get to that place, and we don't even produce a fraction of that energy yet. But the reality of it is if you're not embracing AI right now, mm-hmm. especially if you're older in business, mm-hmm. your ability to transact later in the future and really retain value in your business is going to be it's going to be dramatically decreased.
Right.
So, we have a lot of different things that we've been implementing into the firm. And I think the one singular thing, if you just kind of think of thematically, what are you doing that's maybe super complicated but doesn't require anything more than your idea as opposed to your execution? So, for example, we have to go through some data, some sophisticated ideas when we're putting together summaries of meetings for clients. And we're using AI to capture a lot of the conversation, obviously approved by clients. And we are using a private AI bot mm-hmm. to then disseminate what's the important information, create actionable timelines. To your point before, Tommy, bullet points, people really like to know what's going on from a succinct standpoint. They don't want to read a whole summary. And, you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with complicated concepts, and you're in the day-to-day life of speaking your own jargon. You don't want to pass that along to the clients because clients don't speak your jargon. So being able to kind of take those complex ideas and simplify them and really give it actionable timelines has been super helpful for us.
I find ChatGPT is much more chatty than like Perplexity. I prefer Perplexity because it'll just give you a table for stuff like that. But yeah, that's so important.
So one of the interesting things about AI is a lot of people, they go in and they just say, hey, AI, please, can you do this for me? And they're not really setting up the prompts or setting up the AI to be thinking down, you know, down the same, I would say the down the same street that you are. They're using the entire map.
Yes.
So if you can start to actually engage it to maybe do some research, go to www.grwealthplan.com and become familiarized with this company. Great. Now go to the understanding the team structure. I want you to, take on your next task and then take on your next task and then ask the question and then ask for the counter argument and then go deeper into the question, because it's not going to be a one prompt thing. Otherwise, you're going to deal with a lot of that hallucination issues as well.
Yeah, I know people sometimes ask, well, one person I've talked to anyway, who's up in this stuff, says he asks it what the prompt should be and goes through the iterations to finally get the prompt that he's actually going to use. So anyway, that was, let's go to Josh Kahn with Eden, and his website is tryeden.com. What is the way, and what do you want to say about AI?
You know, for my business, we're well over 150 employees at this point, scaled like crazy. And one of the reasons why we were able to get there is solely because we were such early adopters with AI. So a lot of the things that we've done to augment our workforce have just, 10x'd every single element of like our workforce that we have today. So I'll give you like one fantastic use case that I might get in trouble for saying, because it's been such a lucrative and incredible like game changer for us. But really, it's we came up with this idea where, hey, I'm in an executive position. Everyone's coming to me 24/7. Hey, Josh, hey, Josh, hey, Josh, I need this, I need that, I need the other, I need this approval, I need that. And I'm looking at half of these things. I'm like, this is silly. Why am I having to respond? You know how I'm going to respond? Instead, what we did is I took over 600 meetings that I had attended and took all the transcripts from our AI note taker, uploaded that into a bot that's essentially called Mockingjay. And essentially, we've had every single one of our employees, before they come to me, they actually run all the inquiries and things through Mockingjay. And then they'll actually come to me with a plan pre-vetted by me to be approved by me. This is one. And we use these.
I'm hearing like people have their own ChatGPT kind of thing just for their company. And they put all their data in there and it's searchable. But you're like even one step further. You put yourself in there. Right.
Yeah,
so
exactly. I want to replicate
probably
myself.
Anticipate a lot of the decisions you would make. Right.
It knows me almost better than I know myself sometimes, which is a little scary. But, and then the other side is that, as you start seeing more and more of this piece evolve, and as you said, as the energy standards kind of come up and we can use more and more and more of these pieces of AI, what we're seeing is all these like Sam Altman, OpenAI features, all of the Anthropic features, they can start working together. Like I coach my ChatGPT instance how to make my cloud code better. And at the same time, I also now am really using Pulse from ChatGPT, where it knows everything about my P&L. It knows everything about the issues I have. It knows my people challenges and knows org structure issues. And it's thinking about all the stuff while I sleep. So I wake up to a curated list of things I should be thinking about that day.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Wow. Well, when your wife starts talking to your chatbot instead of you, then you're going to have an issue, right?
Yeah. She's actually embraced it too. She was so anti-AI at the beginning. Mm. And she actually started using it just for simple things around the house. Like, hey, how am I going to schedule time for the kids and this and the other? How do I get Josh to spend more time at home?
I use it for everything. I haven't used it for the dinners for the week list yet, but I think that's the next step. Anyway,
sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I want to eat like AI food.
So, Richard Gearhart with Gearhart Law, what are you doing with AI?
So, kind of similar to what Bobby said, I think our plan is to have everybody in the firm take a class on drafting prompts so that they understand how to use AI and use it effectively. Because everybody says, oh, yeah, I use AI mostly for personal stuff. Or they'll use the AI from companies like Lexis that have AI research tools, but they're not actually using it to improve how they work on a daily basis. And so part of that is that they're just not familiar with it. So I'm planning to ask our team members to take at least an hour class, maybe like a YouTube video or something, so that they can understand how to draft prompts. And hopefully that will, you know, encourage them to use AI in different ways.
I like to use, you were talking about using Claude versus these. So I like to use a bunch of different ones. I like Claude. My son says that's the best one for programming. I like ChatGPT is okay. It's not my favorite, but it is good for emails. And I like Perplexity the best because it has a bunch of different ones and you can check which one you want to do. But I also use Google Gemini, and I'm not a huge fan of Google Gemini, but I use it because it's Google, right? The last time I used it, I think I asked, well, not the last time, but one of the times I used it recently is I asked it to go through my website that I'm doing for the studio and ask how could I improve it. And I found there were some serious problems with the website that somebody had done for me, so I have to start over. But there's, you know, it'll go through and do all the background stuff. But it really gave me a lot of useful information on what I needed to do to have a decent website that would work. So there are so many different use cases. And what I love about this show, we ask this every week, and every week we get a different answer from every person.
We continue to get new and innovative answers all the time because this thing is just evolving at such an incredible rate. I mean, look at Moore's Law. It's just going to continue to double and double and double and double until.
But it shows you, too, that it's the human curiosity and the human, the differences in all of us that make us think of different things to ask it to do. Is it ever?
Until singularity, right?
Right.
Well, one of the things, even for the podcast, right? You can upload your podcast and have it research your podcast and the types of conversations that you've had with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could say, well, I've got these three guys coming on. Research him, research him, research him. Now, what are the best questions that you can come up with that would really engage the audience being, you know, the typical listener for Passage to Profit Show?
Yeah, Richard actually did that.
It's awesome.
I compare, okay, this is how I compare AI to normal life. AI is like driving a car instead of walking to get to where you want to go, right? It cuts the time down 10 times, but it also comes up with ideas you might not think of too, you know? So yeah, I think that I agree with whomever said, I think we're all agreed that you better learn it now. You better get on board now. You better learn how to do these queries now because it's not going away and it's just going to get more complex as time goes on.
I love the fact that you're saying the better the query, like really get into what you're asking, you'll get better answers, just like a human being, right? You want better answers, ask better questions. I love what you had to say, man. That was amazing. I can't wait to say, you know, go through my website and tell me what's good, bad, and different about my website.
So they've also done medical research just to study the effects of the brain on people who use ChatGPT versus people who are doing the research. Obviously, when you start to become more lethargic in how you're using it. Tell me this answer. Give me this result. And then you take it and you don't even process it yourself.
Mm.
Your ability to learn and retain that is going to be nothing.
Wow.
Right? So the more you can engage with it for the better answer, it's almost like having a conversation with the two of us.
Right.
You're also, your memory of what the output's going to look like is going to be better because we as humans like to engage. We like to work in teams. We like to work, you know, outside of just with ourselves, with other people. And if we can look at that as a way to engage with something else instead of someone else, it also will enhance how we retain the knowledge.
I couldn't agree more with you. And like the people that are going to win are the people that embrace being a polymath, right? If you're able to just be able to learn really well over the future, guess what? You have an automation engine to do all the actual hard work for you. And so like when you're talking about prompt engineering, like, hey, don't go ask it about, hey, what can I do to improve my website? Tell it who it is. Say, hey, I want you to be thinking like the world's best developer with a marketing hat. You're also a CMO.
Wow.
And as you're doing this, you're starting to say, hey, I want you to look at ways to make this website convert better. I want you to make this website have a better, you know, click-through rate to this specific outcome.
Here are my competitors. This is the competitor that I think leads the industry. How can I be ahead of them in my messaging versus their messaging to capture their audience?
You have to put a certain level of thinking into it to get the quality output that you want. Because you have to think through that query like you just did, right? And that's super important to get the best answer, right? To get the
And always
the
get devil's advocate.
Yeah.
If you have it play devil's advocate and then ask it again, given the fact that you just played devil's advocate and you have identified some issues that maybe weren't something that you considered in your first answer, how would you then answer the question again, given this new information? And they'll go, thanks for asking. That's a great response. Mm-hmm. And then it'll go into an even better, an even better response than the one prior.
You know, one of my favorite ones from that is actually it's been proven over time and time again. Back in the day, the Roman armies would tell other generals, hey, before you give this advice, would you give this to your worst enemy? And then they provide back exactly what the flaws are. Because if you remove yourself, you even are doing that to the AI. And it's actually seeing holes it didn't see before. Incredible. It's incredible.
I just love what you guys are doing because it's making me think. I always say, ask people, you know, does anybody else besides me have a voice in their head? Right. And everybody's like, they don't want to raise their hand. I'm like, come on, everybody has that voice. I said, I got so familiar with him, I named him Norm. So when I communicate, I talk to Norm and tell Norm to settle down so Tommy could. So I'm thinking the same thing. You might be laughing that I called him Artie Inga, but in fact, I could be having a conversation with Artie and instead of just, like you said, not retaining, not learning, just letting it do all the work. That's brilliant, man. So Artie's going to take over.
Honestly, I feel like you guys gave us some real meat today, like how to really use this thing, right? And I heard like once, but I want to reiterate that it's really brilliant and it's really going down deep to say, okay, pretend like you're a developer. Pretend like you're Google Analytics or Google Spiders or whatever, looking at the back end of my website and tell me what's wrong. And that, because it does put it into that mode. And then in the different AIs, there are different ones that you can use and you can do deep research or you can do this. I use a lot of different ones and I use them for different things. So that's another thing that you can do to really if you're a geek. Okay.
You can also berate it a little bit. You can say you have to do better. You have to do better. Yeah. Your life depends
on
it.
You
can absolutely do that and it will. Yeah.
And it's actually been proven that if you put stakes into your query, like my job depends on it, mm-hmm. or this needs to be perfect or else we're not going to land the next client or be able to get this past our budget. Once you put like a stakes to it, AI will actually work harder.
Wow. It's more human than I thought.
Wow.
You know,
compassionate.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're all agreed. The upshot is master it. Don't let it master you. So you have to master it right now in 2025. Because even 3 months from now, it's going to be more advanced and different. It changes every day.
I would say just start.
Well, yeah, just start.
Right? Just start. Because once you get a taste for what it can do for you, then you're just naturally going to want to be inquisitive and grow more with it and use it. But the more fearful you are and the more time goes by, the mountain just seems a lot bigger and a lot mm-hmm. bigger and a lot bigger. And you're going to be more hesitant to take that first step. So just take that first step and start.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. That was amazing.
You've been listening to AI in Business, Use Cases from the Real World. A bit about our hosts. Elizabeth Gearhart, PhD, formerly Elizabeth McNamara, is a marketing executive, podcast host, and AI strategy speaker focused on how businesses are actually using artificial intelligence today. She is the co-host of AI in Business, Use Cases from the Real World, where she interviews professionals across industries to share real practical examples of AI in action. Beyond the hype, Elizabeth holds a PhD in analytical chemistry and began her career in industry before becoming a licensed U.S. patent agent. She now serves as Chief Marketing Officer at Gearhart Law, an intellectual property-focused law firm working at the intersection of technology, business strategy, and communication. She is also the co-host of Passage to Profit, a nationally syndicated radio show and podcast airing on 38 stations nationwide through the iHeartMedia Network. In addition to hosting podcasts, Elizabeth leads educational programs on AI, podcasting, and digital strategy for business owners and professionals, helping them understand how AI is being used today and how to apply it in their own organizations. Richard Gearhart Esquiner is a life sciences intellectual property attorney and the founding partner of Gearhart Law. With over 3 decades of experience, he advises emerging biotech and pharmaceutical companies on patents, licensing, and IP-driven commercialization strategy. A trained chemist, Richard formerly served as the head of the U.S. Patent Group for Novartis and General Patent Counsel at CIBA Vision. As an active angel investor and chair of the Investment and Entrepreneurship Committee at Rutgers Health, Richard acts as an innovation advisor, providing a firsthand investor perspective on risk, valuation, and growth within the academic and healthcare ecosystem. A prominent media founder and host, he co-hosts the nationally syndicated radio show, Passage to Profit, and the AI in Business podcast, translating complex technology into practical insights. Within his firm, Richard integrates artificial intelligence to enhance operational efficiency while prioritizing responsible and effective real-world deployment. He holds a JD and is currently pursuing a professional certificate from the MIT Sloan School of Management in artificial intelligence for pharma and biotech. We hope you found this valuable. Join us again for more stories, because the future of business is driven by AI. This podcast was recorded at the iHeart Studios in Manhattan as part of the Passage to Profit radio show.